Today we're going to talk about love. Since it's Valentine's Day. Now, this is kind of part two to the sermon I did last week. I know I messed some of you up with that one. About reconciliation and moving toward reconciliation with one another through those three wonderful gifts from God: confession, repentance, forgiveness. And I'm sure in the last week you've all got that down now. Confession, repentance, forgiveness. And now that you're experts at that, we're going to move on. What we're going to move on to is a little more poignant. And so today we're going to talk about what it looks like to have healthy relationships between men and women. How many here know that those are not always healthy? Some of us have experienced unhealthy relationships with the opposite sex. So we're going to talk about that. First, let me say that, for those of you who don't know, this is the Bible. And this is an incredible love story. And if you haven't read it, you should. This is the story of how throughout history, God has loved us, has pursued us, has been patient with us, has forgiven us, kind of coming to a culmination in that pinnacle event we call the cross, where Jesus, God's Son, died for us. Upon that cross, because he died for us, and he says that he died for us because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Remember? And when Jesus died on the cross, he showed all of mankind, for all of history, how much God values each person. He spoke to us regarding each of our individual value to him. He assigned great dignity to each of us. And now he's calling us to treat one another with that love and value and dignity where he was showing the same thing to us through the cross. But the reason we need to talk about this relationship between men and women is because, for the very reason that we often get it wrong. And we often take our cues from our culture rather from God's model to us of what love is. And therefore, we've either been exploitive in our relationships, or we've been hurt and exploited in our relationships. We've either become fearful and withdrawn from relationships, or we've become very aggressive in our relationships, thinking, if anybody's going to get hurt, it's not going to be me. And so we go on hurting or being hurt and wind up very confused. But in 1 John 4, verse 7, we hear John admonishing us, the church, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God." So we've had these confusing and hurtful relationships along the ways, and I want to tell you a little bit about mine. When I started junior high, I started realizing that all the things I thought were important in life were not the only things everybody else thought were important in life. Because what I thought was important in life was hunting and fishing and football and baseball and basketball and So I was spending all of my time developing skills in that area. When I got to junior high, I realized I needed some other skills, relational skills, because people, guys and girls, started having relationships with each other. And it was very confusing. And then I thought I was confused by that. Then I got to the locker room. Then I started hearing some really confusing things about sexuality. And I got my head really messed up. Because what I was hearing from the guys in there, remember, I'm a guy, so it was the only guys in the locker room. What I started hearing is that guys were trying to prove to themselves and one another that they were man enough by scoring sexually with the girls. And as I watched this behavior, I became convinced of two things. One, you cannot prove your manhood that way. It's very ineffective. And two, all we were doing was disrespecting the girls. And so by the time I got to the end of junior high, there was kind of this battle going on back and forth. Who was going to use who? Who was going to be dating who? Then I got to high school, and it just kind of skyrocketed in exponentially growing numbers, the amount of people that were having sex. And this was the 70s. And my generation brought about this wonderful thing we call the sexual revolution. Talk about getting confused. And so I was very, very confused coming into my young adulthood. I didn't want to do it the way that I heard people doing that. I didn't want to relate to women the way I heard people doing that in junior high and high school. But I didn't have the skills that I needed to relate in healthy ways. I have a extended member of my family, extended family member, I should say, that because of broken relationships with them down through the years, broken relationships and broken marriages, they have concluded that they want absolutely nothing to do with women. And out of their hurt and confusion, they've concluded and judged themselves that they don't know how to do that, they're not going to do it again, and they've resigned themselves to the loneliness that comes along with that. I do not want that for you. I think that's sad. I think it's unnecessary, and I think there's another way. So, if you have been hurt, or if you have done the hurting, or both, we need to start seeking God for our healing and seeking God for the answers to know how to start relating in healthy ways with each other. And here's the reason why. The things that we need from each other, the affirmation, the encouragement, the inspiration, the help, the teaching, isn't going to just come from those of our same sex. It's going to come from others as well, the other gender. So, if you've resigned to only relate to your same sex, then you're cutting out 50% of the blessing that others can be to you, especially in the community of faith. But we do need to proceed with caution, don't we? And the reason we need to proceed with caution is because all that hurt and confusion and hurting that was going on, we don't want to repeat all of those things. But we do want to take advantage of whatever blessings and whatever encouragement the other can be to us. So we need to ask hard questions like these. How do I preserve my moral integrity in relation to the other? How can I foster mutual respect between us? How can I healthily relate to the other without eliciting an inappropriate response in them? How do I respond to another's agenda to seduce me? A few more questions for those of us who are married. How can I remain sexually and emotionally faithful to my spouse while relating to someone else of the opposite sex? What do I do if I become attracted to someone other than my spouse? What do I do if another becomes attracted to me? And I would propose that you answer those questions before you're there. Just saying, that might be a little more successful for you. Now, Patsy tried to teach me for many years what I was doing wrong in relating to women. And I would usually respond like this: look, honey, I'm not looking for a girlfriend. I'm not looking to have affairs. I want you for my wife. I don't want another wife. I'm very happily married. I'm just talking to people. What's the problem? You know, I was doing that thing that guys do. I'm right. Can't you see that? But then I heard a man speak on the story of Cain and Abel. Cain ended up killing his brother Abel because of jealousy. And when God said to him, "Where is your brother Abel?" he said these words: "Am I my brother's keeper?" And when this man said that in the middle of this teaching, it hit me like a ton of bricks right in my chest. And I thought, oh no, I know the answer to that question. The question is, yes, I am my brother's keeper. Yes, I am my sister's keeper. And immediately, I knew what Patsy had been trying to tell me for the last 5 years. Because in relating to my sisters, I do not want to elicit an inappropriate response in them toward me. I don't want to lead them on in any way. Honey, thank you for your patience. So, with good boundaries in place and some of those kind of relational skills, we forge forward in relationship to the other. And it's scary sometimes. You know, if I came to the conclusion that because I have a wife, I don't need friends who are women, I would miss out on many blessings. So don't have that attitude. So what does it look like as we go forward in relationships, trying to do these in a healthy way? What does that look like? I mean, we know what it doesn't look like. We know the mistakes that have been made. But what does it look like to do this in healthy ways? Well, first of all, we need to respect all parties. And what I mean by that is that whoever we're relating to, they are connected relationally with many other people. And we have to respect the relationships that they're in. They have other friends. They may be married. They may have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. We have to keep all of those things in mind as we go forward in relationships. I have a good friendship with my friend Rita Henderson. This is Rita and Mike Henderson right here on the front. Many of you know Mike and Rita. Rita and I became very good friends, especially as we were leaders in Living Waters, and we've enjoyed a lot and benefited a lot from that friendship. But I don't call Rita up and say, "Hey, Rita, where are we going on vacation this year?" because that would be to disrespect this much greater and deeper and more committed relationship that she has with her husband, Mike. In fact, if I'm going to have an appropriate relationship with Rita, an appropriate friendship with Rita, I need to be pursuing my relationship with Mike as well, or it's not going to work too good. In fact, I'm going to be also encouraging Rita to be friends with my wife, Patsy. Now, as practical as that is, not many people do that. What is up with that? Many of you know my friend, Bumi. Bumi is a single woman in the church. Oh, hi, Bumi. And she is my friend. But yes, she is Patsy's friend as well. And going forward, when Bumi gets married, for me to have an appropriate ongoing friendship with her, I will have to befriend her husband also. And her husband will need to be meeting my wife and us relating as couples. I spent, some of you know, about 23 years in another industry, and I was the branch manager of a Houston branch of this company, and I had a manufacturer's rep that called on me regarding the products that they made that our company distributed. The sales rep that called on me was a woman. Her name is Ann. As a result of us spending a lot of time strategizing regarding selling their products, training regarding their products, she and I spent a lot of time together. She became my friend. Ann was not a Christian. So when I would spend time with Ann, sometimes we would go to lunch together, sometimes we would entertain customers together. When we would be together, one of the first things I would start with is, how is your husband, Ed? Now, why would I do that? Because I want her to realize that I know I'm relating to a married woman. And she eventually took the hint, and she would say, fine, he's doing well. Tell me about her kids. Tell me where they went on vacation. And by the way, how's your wife, Patsy? And we did this for a while, and Ann figured out that I was not hitting on her. And eventually, me and Patsy invited Ed and Ann to go out to dinner with us and come and spend time with our home, and we got to know each other as couples then. I'm still friends with Ann. About 6 years ago, Ann found herself in the middle of a life crisis, excruciating life crisis for her, not in her marriage, but in her struggling with depression and some of those kind of things. And in the middle of that, the therapist that she was speaking to said, how are you doing? And she said to them, I'm feeling very betrayed, the worst I've ever felt in my life. And her therapist said to her, you're in good company. Jesus felt the same way. And when she said that, here's what Anne thought. I need a faith like David and Patsy need, like David and Patsy had. And within a few short weeks, Anne had come to faith in Christ. Now, if I had an inappropriate relationship with Anne, and I was hitting on her 6 years previously, do you think she would have thought of me and Patsy regarding our faith? I don't think so. And I continued to enjoy my friendship with her and her husband, and we kind of update each other on what's going on and what's happening in his job and their vacations and all that kind of, and now we have this very mutually supporting relationship, even supporting one another regarding our faith. This is what it can look like, guys. Going forward, we are to value the other person. In Jesus' relationships with women, he was a wonderful model to us. Again, you will have to turn to this wonderfully strange book called the Bible and look at the relationships that Jesus had with women. One of the women that he had a very close and intimate relationship with was Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was an ex-prostitute. And she learned what love looked like, what real love looked like, as opposed to the things that she had practiced formerly in her relationship with Jesus. Was that because Jesus was God's son that he could have a whole and healthy relationship with her? No. He was doing exactly what he tells me and you to do in how we relate to one another. The Apostle Paul had similar relationships with. And you can tell in his letters to the different churches that he has very intimate relationships with these women that are loving, supportive, mutually respectful. This is the same kind of thing that God's calling us to with one another. Scary stuff, huh? So we have to start working on overcoming our fear, working on overcoming our histories, working on overcoming our bad ways of relating to one another, our unhealthy ways of relating to one another, because I'm assuming that everyone here wants to do things God's way and has concluded that God's way is better than your way. In order to do that, we need to do things the way Jesus did. He modeled it for us. Now, there's a really scary thing that happens in relationship between men and women, and here's what it is: attraction. And I don't care if you're single or married, there is the potential for attraction. Attraction's quite natural, actually. In fact, I'm looking out across the audience here. I see very many attractive people. My wife, Patsy, is going to come and tell of one of her experiences with attraction, and it wasn't attraction to me.
Early in our marriage, our kids were little, so it was, they were like this big. They were in the back of the car, and every Sunday we would leave church, and David would say to me, "How was it today, honey?" And the reason he would ask that is because I had become attracted to a man here in this church. And this went on for 2 to 3 months, and into the third month, every day, every Sunday, he would ask me that, and I would say, "Oh, still felt that way." And I didn't really know what to do with that, except that when David and I were dating, actually, I think we had become engaged, we had done a study on relationships. And we had read in the material that becoming attracted to someone of the opposite sex is a test. It's a spiritual test that many people go through. And it gave us some guidelines what to do with that. One of the things they said in there was to tell your spouse and have your spouse pray with you. And so, as soon as I found myself attracted to this person, now, I did have to keep my mind from going to places that it shouldn't go. In other words, I didn't think about this person in a sexual way. So I knew not to do that. But I came home and I told David how I felt about this person. Feelings, you can't control your feelings. Should I act on my feelings? No. But I had to do something with them. So I came home, I told David how I felt about this person. And he supported me and prayed with me and loved me through it. It took a couple of months. And into the third month, we were leaving here one day, and he looked at me and he said, "How was it today, honey?" And I said, "How was what?" And what I had realized is my mind was on so many other things, I had totally forgotten that I had this attraction. So the Lord got us both through that.
Scandalous, isn't it? Yet I know that's happened to some of you, because I know some of your stories. I didn't tell them today. I decided to tell one of our stories instead of your story. I wouldn't do that. But some of us keep secrets about what's going on inside. And the truth of the matter is, what's going on inside isn't a thing that's going on to you exclusively. It happens to lots of us. It kind of gets messed up when you hold it as a secret. And, as Patsy shared, this is something we had already talked about before it ever happened. So, don't keep those secrets. If you're struggling with those kind of things, talk about it. Bring it out into the light of day. Shine the spotlight on it. It's going to be okay. Attraction happens between people. Handle it. Move through it. Move to the other side of it where those people can be a blessing to you and not a distraction to you. Actually, that's what happened to Patsy. She moved through that, and that person became a great blessing in her and my life. Because she already knew ahead of time, she didn't have to respond to it genitally, okay? We're all adults here. You're not being untrue to yourself if you don't respond to it in a sexual way. You're actually being true to yourself and to God by doing it the right way. If you know others who are struggling with this, help them with it. We need to all be helping one another with these kinds of things. We need to be helping one another do this right. And I want to challenge you with this because, first of all, I think lots of us are missing out on blessings from the other because of our fears and histories. But the other thing is I want the church, not just our church, but the church universal, to figure out how to do this, because I think the world is waiting to see people who get it right. I think the culture we live in is doing this so wrong and is experiencing so much hurt and so much devastation in their lives that they need to see people who have figured it out. They need to see us, how we move through it. And to the other side, where we can relate in these healthy ways, in these mutually supportive and respectful ways. And I think this is what the scripture is encouraging us in when it says, love one another. Loving one another is not wishing each other a happy Valentine's Day. Loving one another is caring for one another in loving and healthy and supportive ways. Maybe in ways that you've never experienced before. Maybe in ways that people have not experienced that from you before. But taking our cue from our wonderful, loving Heavenly Father and the story He has told us about love and what love looks like, what real love looks like, take courage and re-engage and figure it out. I think there's lots of blessings in it for you if you do. With that, I'm going to ask you to stand. I also want the ministry teams to come forward at this time.